Good morning, and welcome to the worship service broadcasting live from the 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Join us for the next hour as Pastor Harry Koops brings a message titled, Living with Purpose, found from scriptures in Luke chapter 8, verse 16 through 18. This is Kevin Van Heukelom. Inviting you to stay tuned in for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Well, good morning and welcome to all who have gathered in God's house to worship and praise the living God, our God who is our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer, the only one worthy of our praise. And so it's good to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, part of the family of God, to acknowledge that and then to worship him and to praise him corporately. We want to say a special welcome to all of our visitors. We're glad you're here with us, and we hope that you're blessed, that you really enjoy the service, that you feel warmth and hospitality, and that you can say, hey, I'm really glad to be here. And I got to admit, your timing is perfect, because today we also plan to have what we call a church picnic, but it is inside. It's going to be downstairs in our fellowship hall. And we invite everybody that's here to stay for that church picnic. Those of you listening by radio, it's probably too late for you. But for everyone here, we invite you to stay. And it's downstairs, three exits there. There's a lift there. Stairs are a problem. And then right here over to my left. I was downstairs already. It looks really nice. And I'm glad you didn't go there first because it smells really good. And I think we're in for a good time. And we never worry about if there's not enough food. You know how it is. If you have soup, you just add water. Well, we're having hot dogs. We're going to cut them in half. So it'll work out perfect. So please stay. Even if you haven't signed up, if you forgot, if you're like, oh, man, that was today. Yes, it's today, and do come. The other thing I want to say is that it's also a time for fellowship and getting to know each other. Okay, so I'm going to ask you not to sit with the people you always sit with. Just look for some other people that maybe you don't know. And you say, I'm not sure who those people are. Why don't I sit with them and we have a meal together? And then next Sunday, it'll feel a lot different. Because when you see them, say, oh, hi, yeah, I remember you. We ate hot dogs together. And you'll feel like you have a little sense of community. So just encourage you to mingle and to just get to know at least a few new people today. And I read in the bulletin that it hopes to start at 11 o'clock. I hope to be done by then. But there's fellowship time and also guessing games. I have no idea what that's about, but I'm sure that will be interesting. And so we hope to do all that, and then it's graduation Sunday. So there's three young men we're going to acknowledge today, Colton, Nathan, and Lucian, and we'll do that in a little bit. And Lord willing, next Sunday we hope to celebrate communion, and so we'll also have a preparatory form in preparing our hearts for that. And so just lots of good stuff, being part of the family of God. And then I want to also say a greeting to all those who join us via Jethro Radio, and others join us via the internet, jethro.fm, and we're on YouTube, and of course some folks still get the CDs as well. And they're just wonderful ways to reach out to people to share the good news of who Jesus is and the excitement of belonging to a church family. And so anybody who hears this through electronic means, if you're able to join us in person, this is your invitation, personal invitation, to come and be part of the family of God here at 8th Reformed. We're a pretty informal group. I think you'll feel comfortable real quickly, and hope you'll just come here and be blessed and allow us to be a blessing to you and you to us. And so we meet Lifetime Sunday mornings, and that's at 9:30. And so even with Burton under construction, you can get here. Just take it kind of slow. But we would love to see you. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 16, and it's a fitting passage for graduation Sunday. And in reality, we are all in God's classroom. And so our graduation as children of God really never ends, because He always has more to teach us. He always has more to reveal to us. Hear the word of God. I'll praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Let's stand to sing, worshiping the one who gives us these promises. The hymn is number 356, Redeemed. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4, standing to sing, Redeemed. Father, so good to be able to sing Redeemed and His child forever I am. That's why there's a song in our heart. That's why the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's why we claim the promises that You give us, because we are redeemed in Your shed blood. That gives us a foundation on which to stand, and it gives us a compass for the journey of life. We praise You for it. That's why we're here. To lift up Your name, to worship You, to glorify You, because You alone are worthy of that. And our prayer is that through the power of Your Spirit, You will touch each one of our hearts as only You can do that, and that we will feel ever drawn ever closer to being in relationship with You, our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen. Receive God's greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue worshiping God by singing number 597. We'll sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6. Take my life and let it be. It's kind of a risky song to sing, but it's a good song. That's a wonderful song, but we make quite a commitment in it when we say, take my life and let it be. At this time, we have the privilege of recognizing our graduates this past year, and to graduate from high school is quite an accomplishment. And we have three young men that we'll recognize and acknowledge this morning, and I'm going to invite them to come forward now already. You get a long time to stand up here with me, but I always enjoy the company. So, Lucian, if you would come up, and then Colton, if you'd come up, and Nathan. Yeah, and just stand over here. This would be good on this side. And then Doug will be coming up too, because he's going to help me out here a little bit. You notice how far away they tried to get from me? There, thank you. Good to see you guys, and just congratulations to you. And that's really a defining moment in life when you graduate from high school. Things change. You're really, now you're adults. You've been progressing towards that, but now it becomes real, and it's a real transition time. And so we're proud of you. We want to be supportive and encouraging, and I get to be real close to you right now, but I'm wondering if at the end of this service, through those doors, if you, the three of you, would stand there and let people shake your hands and congratulate you and say, hey, proud of you guys, keeping you in prayer, whatever they want to say. Sound good? All right. So what I asked them to do is each give me a little bio, a little bit about them, and I'm going to share that this time. And then after we read each one, Doug has a book to give them, and they're like, oh, we just graduated, another book? Who? Who wants another book? It's a really good book, okay? It is not the good book, but it's a good book. It's Haley's Bible Commentary. And any questions you have about the Bible, that book will probably answer them for you. About where it came from, can we trust it, how does archaeology tie into this? And if you're like, I'm not into reading, in the front there's a, you know, one of those QR codes. And you can go online and get all the stuff that way too, if that's your preference. But I hope you spend some time in it, because it is a really interesting book. And a lot of times I use it even in sermon preparation, so you'll recognize some of the stuff as you look through it. But so Doug will give each one of you one of those. So the first one I'm going to read is from Lucian Stegeheis, and he's right here on my left, and I congratulate him, and this is what we want to share. He was born March the 1st, 2008, and he just missed being a leap year baby by 4.5 hours. Just think, you'd have been a quarter of your age right now. Yeah. His name is Lucian, which is Latin for Luke. And Luke means bringer of light. And I'm like, this is perfect, because this morning we're going to talk about letting your little light shine. And it's like, oh God, you work all these things out so nicely. Michael is his dad's middle name, so acknowledging that. As a little guy, Lucian had a real knack with puzzles, and he loved to read stories. He was curious by nature. He liked to learn new things. Get this, at 6 years old, he started karate. And at age 12, he was a black belt. So you be nice to him. He also took up tap dance lessons for 3 years, good for coordination and rhythm. And he started piano lessons at 9. But he quit in high school. But he said now that he's graduated from high school, he's going to take that up again. While in middle school, he played the French horn in the band, the viol in the orchestra. And he still really enjoys music and loves to sing. His passion, movies and video games. He attended Granville Public Schools until the 7th grade. And then was looking for a different learning style. And so Lucian graduated from iCademy Global. And that's a virtual charter school in Zealand. And he happened to have one of the highest SAT scores in his class. In his junior and senior year, he also attended Kent County Technical School in the agri-science program. He loves animals and learning about plants, and they didn't have any pets at home. And finally, two stray cats showed up, and Lucian got his pets, so that was good news. Currently, he's looking for a job and studying to get his driver's permit, and he hopes to pursue vocational training in the future, when he decides what he exactly wants to do. Let's give Lucian a nice round of applause. And, yeah. just stay right up here. Okay. And then we have Colton Vandenberg. Colton was born, excuse me, Colton was born 2 months premature. And he was 4 pounds when he was born, and you have really overcome that. Amazing. Yesterday we figured it out a little bit. He's more than 50 times gained his weight since, but you don't want to keep doing that. His mom said that he was born premature and has been early ever since. So she thought she was going to have a July 4th baby and said he was closer to Mother's Day. And he's always first. First in the family, ready for breakfast, ready for school, ready for other activities. While attending school, Colton participated in various activities and sports. He was in choir, earning a spot in the chamber singers his senior year. And he can sing second bass. That's low. And then he said, if I need to, I can sing third bass. I'm not sure how low that is. And recently, he had a solo in his last school concert. He was on the varsity bowling and varsity powerlifting team. And Colton loves to fish and attend concerts. He also works part-time at Russo's Pizza. And I think you have a special connection there, but I'm not sure. He graduated from Granville High School and this fall will be attending Davenport University, studying cybersecurity and defense, and also continuing to do lifting on their power lifting team. His mom, Amanda, added, Colton, God has blessed you with wonderful gifts, and may God be blessed in how you use them. Life can be hard. Always pray. Guard your integrity. And just like hiccups, hard times in life don't last forever. So seek God's guidance for your life, as it says in Jeremiah 29:11, the plans I have for you. Let's give Colton a nice round of applause. And Nathan Wolf is our third recipient. And Nathan said, I've always attended Christian schools. I went to Hudsonville Christian and then Unity Christian High School. He says, especially in high school, I realized how much of an impact all of the years of Christian education has helped me throughout life. And in my high school years, there were countless opportunities for Bible classes, chapel services, and listening how my teachers taught from a Christian perspective, which also helped me then to grow closer to God in my faith journey. Throughout high school, I played soccer, participated in choir and band, and dabbled in art. In all of these things, I experienced God through teachers, coaches, and classmates. He said, I'll miss some parts of high school, but I'm excited to go to college, and I'm planning to go to Cornerstone University along with some of the friends I graduated with. I'll be studying business administration, and I'm excited to see how God works through my life and guides me throughout college. I'm excited for the opportunities I might have. He also wants to thank the congregation of 8th Reformed for encouragement and support. And so let's give Nathan a nice round of and congratulations to you, Lucian. Congratulations, Colton. Congratulations, Nathan. Okay, you're all set. Paul, I hope you were listening closely. Did you hear all of that stuff about being in the choir, singing musical instruments? Just saying. Oh. But this is good to celebrate this with these young men and to continue to uphold them in prayer. Lots of challenges in life as well as lots of opportunities, and we want to be supportive and encouraging and want you to know that this is also exciting for us as being part of your church family to celebrate this time with you. Now I'm going to give you an update on our church family, and we also have the preparatory form today for going into communion, and so I'll do that first. The update, And then we'll go in the preparatory form because that leads right into the congregational prayer. On our church family, we want to remember Peter Rusticus. Peter is having eye surgery this Tuesday. Vision is a precious gift, so we want to remember Peter in prayer. And then Linda Rose, she had surgery this past Friday. The surgery went well, and she's recovering at home. Very appreciative of all of your prayers. Betty Holmes was discharged from Trinity and is now back at Optalis. That's the nursing home there on 36th Street by Clyde Park. And she's excited to be there because she says, I know that's really close to the church. And just tell the people, I'm so thankful for all your prayers. And please stop by and see me because I love visitors. And Darlene Simhowowitz was moved from Metro Hospital to the Oaks in Belmont for her rehab recovery. And then we want to remember Brett Roberts, that's Karen Roberts' son. You got the prayer chain. He fell backwards down the stairs two nights ago. He's in serious condition. This is pretty critical. And right now he's at ICU at the Meyer Heart Hospital. So remember Brett in your prayers. And then we also want to remember Faye Workema in prayer. Faye Workema has been a faithful Jethro listener, and she's kind of a shut-in, but she's corresponded with us a few times. I think it's 2 weeks ago. Her son Scott, 63, died suddenly of a heart attack, and this has been really, really hard on Faye, and she just asked for prayers from you. She thinks of us as her church family, which touches my heart. And so she said, maybe you'll uphold her in prayer. And we put her address in the bulletin. If you're willing to send her a card, that would be really supportive and encouraging, and to let her know that we really do care about her and what's going on in her life. So now I'll turn to the preparatory form for celebrating Lord's Supper, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. And I hope you just don't think of this as, oh man, another form, but to listen to it and say, okay, how does this speak to our hearts? And communion is important because Jesus, one of the last things he said is, do this in remembrance of me until I return. Well, he hasn't returned yet, so we're being faithful and we're being obedient as we continue to do this. Hear these words. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we propose to celebrate together with the help of God the sacrament of the Lord's Supper next Sunday. We come to the table to commune with our Lord. We come in awe and reverence, for the place where we stand is holy ground. Here the Lord offers us the manna of life. If we're to experience this celebration with our Lord and be nourished by the Spirit, let us examine ourselves first, then eat the bread and drink from the cup. The benefit is great if with penitent heart and living faith we receive the Lord's Supper. Let us acknowledge our sin before our merciful God with full intention of amending our lives. Let us make restitution for all injuries and wrongs done to others. And let us forgive those who have offended us, as we ourselves have been forgiven. All children of the covenant, be reconciled with one another, and then come joyfully to the banquet. If you are in need of help and counsel, then go open yourselves to a wise, discreet, and understanding brother or sister in the faith and confess your sins. Receive spiritual counsel so that you may experience assurance of God's pardon and the strengthening of your faith. Come, let us pray together, asking the mercy of God. Almighty God, we have sinned against you and one another in thought, word, and deed, in what we have done and what we have left undone. Therefore, we pray, asking that you have mercy upon us. O Lord, in your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, all through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is our prayer of confession, Lord, seeking to come to the table in remembrance of what you did for us, all through your shed blood at Calvary. You instructed us to do this in remembrance of you, till your return. And we eagerly await that event when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time will be no more. You tell us also to seek first the kingdom of God, and then these other things will be added to us as well. And you invite us to pray over the things that are on our hearts. And so we pray for the lost, for those who don't walk with you, for whatever reason. Your Spirit, which goes places we can't, can unlock hearts. You've done that with us. Each one of us is living proof of that. May that happen, too, in the lives of those who are a burden to us because we want them to experience what it means to have Jesus be Lord of their life. Will you melt their hearts? Will you soften their hearts in such a way that they can't help but respond to your loving invitation to be part of the family of God, covered by the blood of the Lamb? And then you encourage us to pray for the needs of those in our church family. And we're so thankful, Father, that Linda Rose is recovering at home, that her surgery went well. We pray that you be with Darlene Somhowowitz, Betty Holmes, and Lorraine Strading as they adjust to new environments. Thank you that Michelle Strading was able to go home, as was Jim Verstrat. Grateful that Dee Diekman is able to be with us again this morning and doing better. We pray for Peter Ristikus as he has eye surgery on Tuesday. We remember Brett Roberts in prayer and what he is dealing with. We pray for Karen and his family and as they walk another difficult, challenging road. Will you sustain them and uphold them? Will you be their constant companion? We thank you for the recovery Joe Van Beek is experiencing, that he's here with us this morning. We pray for Barb Eish, David Shaver, Gladys Kessel, Laura Van Heest, and Arlene Wiseman, as Arlene is also living with lots of pain, diminishing eyesight, and so misses being here. Will you continue to restore Terry Pepper, Jason Olson, Shane Sweeney, Ford Berghorst, Brian Bruxford, Ron and Jenny Benedict, Mark Davis, Ron and Barb Engels, Doug Pueller, and Brian Cripps? And then, Father, we know there's lots of other things going on, too, within the church family. People are waiting for test results. Others have appointments scheduled. Some are wondering what to do next. Will you be the constant companion that leads, guides, and directs? And when decisions are made, may that peace of God that passes understanding permeate their lives as well. We pray for emotional needs, people who deal with depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, dementia, whatever it might be that steals joy, makes life difficult. Thank you for relationships. Thank you that you have instituted them and what a blessing they are, especially when they work well. And thank you for a church family to love, be kind, support, and encourage one another. And even later, as we have this picnic meal together, will your Spirit be present there and just make that a sweet time as we enjoy good food, each other's company, and knowing that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for those on hospice care. We remember Mel Vanderwest this morning. We pray for lots of grace for him in this season. We pray for Connie as she supports and encourages him. And then we pray for comfort for the Faye Workema family as they grieve her son Scott's passing. Father, will you be their hope, their comfort, and their strength? Will you comfort all who are grieving? We know your word tells us death is the last enemy. We also know that you conquered death. And you are the hope within us because you are the resurrection and the life. We pray for the world we live in, for wars and rumors of wars everywhere, cultures in chaos, and so much of it because we have gone our own way rather than living according to your precepts. We ask for your guidance in the Middle East as well as in Russia and the Ukraine, and for all folks who live with oppression around the globe. Oh, Father, lots of times we don't even know how good we have it. Help us not to take it for granted, nor ever think that we are entitled to it. Help us to be thankful people. We pray for those who don't have freedom to gather together and to worship. We thank you for organizations like the Voice of the Martyrs who minister to those who are persecuted. We thank you for missionaries, and we ask your blessing on Chad and Dara Vanderbos as they serve in Mozambique. And we also pray, Father, for their involvement with Audio Scripture Ministries, and that you will continue to bless and use that ministry as well. We pray for our nation and all those who are in positions of making decisions. And as we hope to celebrate our 250th anniversary, thank you for all the blessings and the mercy you have poured on us. You have let us be a lighthouse in many ways around the globe. Thank you for that privilege. Don't let us squander it. Thank you for the church. And as the church, teach us how to be salt and light and have joy in praising and worshiping you, letting our light shine where you have placed us. Thank you, Lord, for 8th Reformed and for all who call this their church home. And we're grateful for our young people. And this morning, give special thanks for Nathan, Colton, and Lucian, for the gifts you have given them, for the families that raised them. And now as they enter a new chapter in life, will you be their guide and confidant all through the Holy Spirit living in and through them? We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 561. I would be like Jesus, singing verses 1 and 4. 561. Dear congregation, some time ago, someone said to me, God was laying on their heart that it's important to live life with a purpose, that whatever we do should have purpose, that what we do has significance in the eyes of God, that what we know gets translated into how we live. And so that made me think about a lot of things. In the last 6 months, and you've heard this a number of times now, but it's good to repeat. In the last 6 months, we had Advent, we had Christmas, we had Ash Wednesday, we had Palm Sunday, we had Maundy Thursday, we had Good Friday, we had Easter Sunday. Then we had Ascension Day and Pentecost. That's a lot of events, big events in the life of the church. And then besides that, we did our devotions. We had our Sunday school times, our weekly Bible studies, our every other week weekly worship, gathering here Sunday mornings, and then programs on radio and television, listening to music, reading books, other media. And so my question is for you, and it was for myself too, what are we doing with all this information? What are we doing with it all? We are more informed than most people around the globe. What are we doing with all of our information? Are we utilizing it in such a way that our lives have purpose in the kingdom of God? That our lives have purpose in the kingdom of God, not just pursuing the American dream. And this is the challenge before us this morning, what we want to look at. And so I'm going to read just three verses, and that's from Luke chapter 8, and it's page 1473 in your pew Bible. Luke chapter 8, page 1473, I'm just going to read verses 16 through 18. Hear the word of God. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing canceled that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. May God add His blessing to that holy and inspired word. Now, verse 16, the opening to what we read, it makes some real obvious common sense statements. In other words, you could paraphrase that. You don't turn on a flashlight, put it in the closet, close the door. I don't think any of you have put black electrical tape over the headlights of your car because you don't want them to work. I need these to read, so it would do me no good if I had them in my pocket and then tried to read. And then I thought, you know, a lot of people need hearing aids to hear, and you don't put them in a drawer. And then I thought, no, a lot of people do. Don't use that one. Jesus is teaching that being a follower of His means believing in His teachings and then letting them transform who we are. Transform who we are. Meaning it changes how we live. It changes our behavior in daily life. That's what it means to let our light shine. See, our light, we actually are all moons. None of us have any light of our own. But letting our light shine is a reflection of Christ, just like the moon is a reflection of the sun. And this really is a reoccurring theme in all of Jesus' teachings as well. I'm going to share a couple. John 14, 23, 24. Jesus' teaching says, if anyone loves me, he will obey. Did you catch that? He, she will obey, not just know about, but will obey my teaching. He who doesn't love me doesn't obey my teaching. So that little passage, just those two verses I read, are very instructional on what to do with what we know. And that's a critical combination. What to do with what we know. Because truthfully, biblically, we know a lot. We are really informed as Bible people. But what do we do with it? The purpose of light is to dispel the darkness. Jesus is the light of the world, and like I said, we are reflective of His light. And so the Apostle John, in his other book, 1 John chapter 1, he writes this: this is the message that we heard from Jesus and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness. If we claim, okay, these are really key verses. If we claim to have fellowship with Him but walk in darkness, we lie and we're not even living by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, so it also affects our relationships with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, has purified us from all sin. See, we're always reconciled in Christ. That's where true reconciliation happens. So being a Christian, a Christ follower, is meant to be obvious. It's meant to be obvious. Just really apparent. Self-evident. I recognize a light by what it does. I don't ask, oh, what does that light do? I recognize it for what it is by what it does. It illuminates. Likewise, we are to live with purpose, meaning that our light shines wherever we are. That our light shines wherever we are. Matter of fact, if you follow that through, our real reason for living is to reflect who Christ is. I know that just narrows things way down from we'd like a broader picture. But our main reason for living is to reflect who Jesus is. We represent Jesus wherever we go. That's why sometimes we're called ambassadors. Ambassadors for our country, they represent our country wherever they go. We represent Christ wherever we go. I know we all like to fit in. That's a basic need. We like to belong. We like to be part of the group. It makes us feel better. The evidence for that is we often hang around with like-minded people. We worship with like-minded people. We do things with people that make us feel comfortable, that think about things the same way we think about that, and that's what friendships are often based on, how well we connect. Now, if we have friends that are not Christian, when we're together with them, do we act like a representative of Christ? Or do we try to blend in with the non-Christians so that we don't feel different? See, in a way, this is simple stuff and that it's everyday stuff. This is right where we live. Are there situations where we put a bushel or a basket or something over our light? This little light of mine, right? Do we cover it up because, this is kind of an awkward situation. I can share a couple of simple things. You can think of a lot more. When you have a meal with people who normally don't pray over their food, do you volunteer to pray? You say, let's just say a prayer. Thank the one who provided this. Or do you like, well, don't want to offend them. Let's just eat. God knows we're thankful. Wouldn't that be covering your light? Putting a bushel over it? How do you manage that at home? If you ever have people over that aren't believers, do you still do table devotions? Or do you just kind of leave it alone? How about in a restaurant? When you meet with people at a restaurant, do you pray over your food? How about at school? Do you pray over your food? How about at work? Do you pray over your food? Or is this just something you do when you're of other people that it's real comfortable to do that with? When people share problems with you, and there's never a shortage of problems, and you know there's lots of people, but when we come together, we talk about things, and you're like, oh, you wouldn't believe what's happening now. Do you just share worldly wisdom with them? Or do you say, what do you think the Bible says about this? Or maybe you don't have any solution. You say, let's pray together. That's letting your light shine. Let's pray about this and see what we can do. See, this is all stuff that plays itself out in our daily routines, be it at work, be it at school, in our leisure time, and also in the different social roles we have, be it as husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, grandparents, whatever our social role. How do we live this out in our daily life? Remember, God has placed us here to be His light. That's really why we're here, to be His light. Do you know people in your own social do the people in your own social network, the people that you hang out with, do they know you are a believer? Do they know you are a Christ follower? Or is that more with the people that you go to church with or do stuff with, your church people, and then you have your other group? I'm real familiar with this because there was a time when I was still living in limbo between being a Christ follower and just living in the world. And it was like, okay, when I'm with my worldly friends, this is how I am. And then when I'm with my Christian people, this is how I am. And then one night, some of the Christian people were with the worldly people, and it was just, I had to go home early because that was just a real awkward situation because I wasn't sure who I was. It's a tough place to be. It's the hardest place to live, is in limbo between being a Christ follower or just pretending that we're not. So how do we live this out? How do we play this out? And it's usually not, it's not the big stuff where you have to be on the street corner preaching. It's in daily life where this stuff gets played out. It's how we treat the waitress and the waiter. You know, a couple of weeks ago when Travis and Patty Nielsen were here, they said, in the restaurant, do you ever just ask your waiter or waitress, hey, we pray over our meal. Is there anything that we could pray for you about when we do this? And you know, I have to admit, I haven't done that yet. But every time now I'm in a restaurant, it's on my mind, I'm like, I think God wants me to do that. So that just when I see Travis sometime, I'll tell him that touched my heart. But those are little things. But how about when we're with our fishing buddies, the barber, the mechanic, the checkout clerk? What do they see in us? Is there anything, you know, elsewhere in Scripture it says, live in such a way, honoring your Heavenly Father, that others are drawn to Him, that others want to be part of what you have. Today we have three graduates on the threshold of a major transition in their lives. And so the big question is, what purpose do you feel God has given you? To honor Him in your career choice, but also who your friends are, who you pick to be your friends, the people you date, using your gifts, being a good steward of your body, all of that stuff. And then it's like, some of you are like, oh good, finally he's talking to the graduates, I'm off the hook. No, this is for all of us. None of us are exempt from these questions because it permeates every part of our lives. So the question really for all of us is, how are we doing? In a few minutes, we're going to sing This Little Light of Mine. It's so easy in here. But how do we do it out there? This little light of, oh, let me put it in my pocket. I shouldn't let it shine here. How are we going to handle it? Are we loving, kind, patient, forgiving, helpful? This would be a good day for the clock to stop. How about in our worldview? Where are we at morally? What's our moral standards? How do we look at things? What's our views on sexuality? On people having sexual relations before they're married? What about people living together? You know, that's become so commonplace, we don't even bat an eye. But God's word hasn't changed. How do we deal with this? How do we deal with things like abortion, gay marriage, race relations, respect for authority? Do we subscribe to biblical teaching, or do we let human wisdom determine how we're going to live? See, if I bottom line it, in all of this, we're asked not to be ashamed of who Jesus is. That's bottom line. Not to be ashamed of who Jesus is. Matthew 10:32 reminds us, everyone who acknowledges me, Jesus speaking, everyone who acknowledges me before people, I'll acknowledge before my Father's in heaven. Okay? But if you don't acknowledge me on earth, I won't acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. I do not want Jesus to be ashamed of me on Judgment Day. I do not want Jesus to say, I have no idea who that is. But that also means we have a mandate for while we're living here. To belong to Jesus is a privilege, not a burden. So in Luke 8:17, the little passage we read, we learn that there is nothing hidden from God. Nothing that can be hidden, and it's impossible to hide from God how we live, what we have done with the light given us. And so, in other words, no clay jar, no bed is big enough to hide from God who we are. We can fake it for other people. We can even fake it for ourselves. We call that living in denial. But we cannot fake it before God. God is all-knowing, and He knows what we're doing and how we're living. Psalm 139 is real clear about that. O Lord, You have searched me and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. In other words, God already knows what you're thinking before you're actually really thinking it. Now, we often try to hide stuff, keeping up appearances. But you know, AA has got a slogan that says, we're only as sick as our secrets. And this is true. The things that we internalize that nobody knows about, that's the stuff that keeps us trapped. That's the stuff that keeps us stuck. That's the stuff that steals our freedom, the freedom that we have in Christ. So the question is, what are the things I say? What are the things I do? What are the things I watch or the places I go that I say, that's my private business? Don't worry about what I do. You just look after yourself. And God says, I know. I know what you're doing. And you can't hide that from me. And I also know what that's doing to your light. So in verse 18, there's one more thing we want to look at. It says, the one who has gets more, and the one who has not loses what he once had. So to be, paraphrase that is, be careful what you listen to. You know, years ago, growing up, when we came home from church on Sunday, and I'll never forget this, my dad would pray at the table, and he would pray, Father, what we heard in church this morning, may that never be used as evidence to testify against us, pretending we didn't know you. I'll never forget that. I was just a little boy when he prayed that. But that was heavy prayer. And that's the danger of coming to church. Because if we hear all this stuff and do nothing with it, it will testify against us. And say, yeah, you knew that stuff. You heard it read, you heard it preached. What did you do with it? That's what it always comes back to. So, I remember a man telling me on Tuesday, this was in another church, so don't worry about if it was you. And they said, good sermon last Sunday, preacher. I agreed with everything you said. And thought that we should, and I don't remember what that sermon was about, but he thought we should, whatever we preached on. He says, but by the time I had my coffee, and we had some fellowship time, and I visited with other people, you know, on the way home, I realized I'd forgotten most of what you'd said. And that kind of happens every week. He says, so usually I don't do much with anything that you preach. I appreciated his honesty, but that's really dangerous. That is really dangerous because what we know becomes evidence for how we live. Therefore, it's important to listen carefully and then respond. To listen carefully and respond. James is real clear on that. He says, don't merely listen to the word. You know what he says if you just listen to the word and do nothing with it? He says you're deceiving yourselves. He said, don't just listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a person who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking goes away and forgets what he saw. That's what it's like if you leave here, if you leave your Bible studies, if you leave your devotions and 5 minutes later don't remember anything about it. Or do anything with it. Our behavior is proof of our relationship with God in Christ. Our behavior is our response to the light. How we live is how we respond to the good news. Because we know the light, what we do with it is so important. I can't stress that enough. Because we know the light, we don't have an option. We either accept it or we reject it, but we have no middle ground, no neutral ground. We're responsible for what we know, because on Judgment Day, when we stand before the judge, Jesus Christ, we get no do-overs. And the reality is, we never know when that day will be. That has nothing to do with age. So rejecting the truth of Jesus and his teaching now will lead to the light being removed from us. That's why eternity is also called eternal darkness, because the light has been removed. It's the absence of God. So truth, Jesus is a truth. Truth that is embraced is used and multiplied. Truth that is neglected will be lost. So the children's song, "This Little Light of Mine," has it right. I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to put it under a bushel. I'm not going to let Satan blow it out. And I'm going to let it shine wherever I am. I think we're going to sing Wyoming. So this week, starting today, how can we be sure we are not hiding our light under the bushel? How can we be sure that we are letting our little light shine? This is not complicated stuff. This isn't like theology where you say, oh man, systematic theology, I don't understand how this all works. This is straightforward and basic. Do you belong to Jesus? Then let others know. It's that simple. So, are we going to let people know? Are we going to hide our light under a bushel of avoidance, a bushel of embarrassment, a bushel of fear, awkwardness, or denial? See, the other option is to cheerfully and bravely in his strength be the light where he has placed us. At home, at school, in our leisure activities, wherever we live. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Father, we come to you. We thank you for really the simplicity of the message, but it's not easy. And so we pray that through your Spirit's power, you will equip us to do this well. Because the bigger the light, the less the darkness. And so often we complain about all the darkness around us. Teach us how to be light where you have placed us. Give us joy in doing it. Give us courage and boldness. And may we do it in a winsome way. Father, if there's anything I said in this message that didn't please you, would you just erase that from our memories? And for all the rest, would you inscribe it like with indelible ink on our hearts? We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll continue worshiping our God by singing "This Little Light of Mine," and the words are on the back of the bulletin if you've forgotten them since childhood. But there's a lot of good information. It's a good message in this little song. Standing to sing, and we'll do the actions right along with it, won't we, Tim? Seated. I hope that song rings in your heart all week. At this time, the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you. Pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided the light that we can let shine, that we can reflect who Jesus is. That's the biggest blessing of all. Thank you for all the other blessings that you have poured down on us as well. Help us to be good stewards of all that you have given us, and may we have joy of living and working in your kingdom. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. After the benediction, we will sing number 590, the first verse, I'll Live for Him. And just a reminder for everyone to come downstairs for the picnic. There's room for everyone, and just hope you'll stay. And for the three graduates, while they sing this song, if you would go to that exit and then just line up there and give people an opportunity to shake your hand. Receive God's parting blessing. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jeffro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on the website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.